Let's pray together, shall we? Dear Lord, as we come to listen again to your word today, we pray that our hearts will be instructed and open to the leading of your spirit. We pray that you'd give us those insights we need to understand. And Lord, thank you that in all these the gospel readings, you're present to us as we think and read through them, and we thank you that you're continually speaking to the world through your ministry to this world. We give you thanks and praise for this, and may our lives similarly share in your self-giving. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. This morning's message is entitled, This Poor Widow, and just thought it would be good to firstly recount the extent of Jesus' own self-giving as he comes right to the last part of his life, and he's been arrested, he's been crucified, and we just pick up the very last piece of it in Mark chapter 15. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until the afternoon, 3 in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, listen, he's calling for Elijah. Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a stick and gave it to him to drink, saying, wait, let's see whether Elijah will come to take him down. Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Centurion watching stood by facing him, saw that in this way he breathed his last, and he said, truly this man was God's son. One of the beautiful things about the gospel is that we see Jesus from the first of his opportunities in ministry right through to his last breath. His life is spent in self-giving. He's giving himself to the world, and he's doing that to the uttermost. And we know that the Father has given him for this purpose, to just show his generosity and love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. So the belief or faith is the great gift as well. So all of that is God's lovely self-giving. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. It is his free salvation given to you. And for that, we say thank you. And probably all our days and even more in eternity, we will see the wonder of what Christ's own self-giving in his life has given. And of course, we too are encouraged to follow him in some measure as we go about our lives, to participate or share in that same bringing of hope to the world. And sometimes we find it to be, you know, more costly to ourselves than we might have thought. Nevertheless, that is the pattern, and we see it there. Now, the passage we have today is a little bit of, it's really a teaching exercise in one way for the disciples. Way back on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had said, you know, in the hearing of many people, he'd taught about the way that they were to give and so on. He said, beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you've received no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward. In other words, their applause they've got, that's their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. So they were aware of this, and they'd then been receiving some teaching. Jesus had said, look, you need to look out for the teachers of the law, the scribes, who they like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the best seat in the synagogues and places of honour at banquets. He said they actually devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They'll be receiving the greater condemnation. So he's not wanting them to be what we call today virtue signalling all the time, showing people how virtuous they are, but for it to be a quiet thing that's done in their heart. So in this little moment, he takes a lesson and he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Now, you can go sometimes and put your little docket in a Woolies box or something and your vote goes to send some money to the high school or the CFS or something. Well, they had 13 trumpets along there which were sort of designed to put the money in easily so you could come along, and it was marked where the money would go so they knew they were giving to something worthwhile. And Jesus sat down to watch. Don't know if you've just sat down for a while and watched people. When I was on the farm, Gary here lived up there, knows what it was like. We some days it was so foggy, there was nobody I saw except for the milk tanker driver and no one much around to watch. So some days for my day off, I would go down to Rundle Mall and just sit down and take a seat and watch some human beings for a change. Instead of cows, and just watch what human beings do. Well, Jesus is sitting down and he's watching what human beings are doing in regard to their giving. And he notices, and they notice first, many rich people put in large sums. So it must have been evident. I guess it made a fair rattle as all those coins went down, circled around. And they sort of waltzed off pretty pleased with their effort. And then we read that a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth a penny or, a small amount of money. So she's got 2 copper coins. Now, I'd not noticed this before, that she had two of them. But she's not only is she a widow who were already fairly poor, but she's a poor widow. And so she's coming along and her opportunity to give. I don't know if you've ever had somewhere where you've gone and you've forgotten there was going to be an offering, you know, might have been an afternoon service. And you go for your wallet and you think, oh, there's only a $100 note in there. And I haven't got any coins. you think to yourself, dive into your fob pocket and try and rattle around, hope there's something there. And maybe in the end, eventually, between you and the Lord, you wave goodbye to the 100 and or whatever. But, you know, sometimes we generally, you know, measure what we would like to give and think about that. But the curious thing here is this poor widow came and she got 2 copper coins. You'd think, you know, in wanting to give and be part of the life of the worship life of the of God's people, that she might have rattled one in there and kept the other one for herself for her needs. But she throws them both in there. And so Jesus calls his disciples. He's perceived what's going on here, and she's casting her entire lot upon the Lord's provision. Clearly she believes the Lord loves her, cares for her, she belongs to God, she's looked after. Maybe she knows of people more needy than herself, so she's put it into the particular direction. But Jesus called the disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury." So he adds up the whole lot, and then the reason why he states is this: for all of them have contributed out of their abundance. their spear. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. So she is a self-giving person, and in a way she's a type, really, of the Lord to come. When he takes his final breath on Calvary's cross, he's given his all, and we know that the best is yet to come. The Father raises him from the grave, and his continual giving goes on. So when the Lord's given his all, the best is still yet to come. He's giving his all now as the reigning Lord. He's gathering together the fruit of his self-giving, and he's calling us to share in that ministry, which is self-giving. It's very interesting what happens sometimes as you are preparing a message and thinking about this. I had a book that I've been listening to. You may have audio books. I think I left it down there next to Lynn anyway. It's called A Fortunate Life by A.B. Facey. Do you remember that book? And it's a story of a young man, a man who, you know, he's two and he's lost his dad, he's four and he's lost his mum. His living grandma's given him some advice. He's eight and he's started working. He's about 15 or 18 and he's helping a bloke build a house. He's in charge of a station in Western Australia. And at around about the age, I think, of 20, he helped some guy build a house just out of wood that they'd cut. Then he was called off to World War One, and he served at Gallipoli, saw an older brother and a younger brother die and heaps of men die there in the real battles of Gallipoli. He came back and established a little plot with a soldier's settlement and had such a good year. He made a fortune on his grain. He did so well with his sheep that he made a heap of money. So he went from, you know, the difficulty there to a beautiful, he found a wife. His wife sent him, he got a message sent to him in Gallipoli, and was, whoever gets this, I wish you well, Evelyn. Well, turned out years later when he came back, he met Evelyn and married Evelyn. Incredible little things happened along his way. He was watching then from his successful house and farming operation, and he saw some smoke and his house burnt down. His life went sort of zigzagged up and down. He had children. He lost a son in World War II. Deep sadness for them. He farmed. He made so much money with poultry that a very rich farmer offered to buy his poultry business from him. And he said, oh, no, it's not for sale. And he said, well, what about, you can have it for this much, which was a ridiculous price. And the man said, he came back a few days later, he said, oh, it's a ridiculous price, but I'll buy it. So he went from sort of famine to feast, famine to feast. His own life, at one stage he was a boxer in a tent. A very interesting life. But at the end of it all, he said, I've had a fortunate life. All that he'd seen, he summed it up. And he said, I've had a fortunate life. But one sentence that stuck out to me because I was thinking about this week, at one stage they were very poor and his grandpa had only a small amount to feed the whole family, about eight mouths. And he said, many people had little feeling or sympathy for those in need. It's just an observation he had. He just realised that it was tough. And a lot of people just passed them by. At the same time this week, as I'm thinking about these things, I noticed that the billionaire Elon Musk, the guy who sent the rocket up recently, he had a little bit of spare change, so he offered to give $6 billion to the United Nations towards the problem of world hunger. He had a windfall of about $36 billion recently, so he had $6 billion to spare. This is incredible amounts of money, isn't it? In the same way, Andrew Twiggy Forrest paid this week, or this past month, I believe, $42 million to get his own island, Lizard Island, on the Great Barrier Reef. So just a little holiday shack out there. 42 million. And in the same week, in the race that stops a nation, I always stop and watch the race that stops a nation. You can learn a lot from that. Some of you probably think nut to the cup, but on Tuesday I watched the race, and a number of years ago I watched the race, and to my great surprise, the winning jockey, Darren Biedman, stood up, and the first person he thanked was the Lord Jesus Christ for such a good ride. Anyway, we'll leave that. And the horse's name was Saintly. So there you are. This year, anyway, a young man, James McDonald, ran through, and he was so emotionally filled with joy that he couldn't keep his hand off his face. He was crying because of what. But the prize money was a calm $14 million. Not for the jockey, but the owners and so on. I'm just saying that to demonstrate that we live in a world where there's a lot of difference, between the haves and the have-nots. We know that. But wherever we are and whatever our life situation is, we are called to share in our self-giving. That is, what God has given to us, out of all that, we share in our self-giving. And, Christian faith, the reason I mention that the gospel is free is that the Christian faith and the teaching is not now for somehow the minister or anyone else to manipulate or squeeze money out of people to give, to the life, to God's action and so on. It's always a free self-giving. A pastor who didn't take that approach I heard of just recently, apparently before the giving of their local church's special call to give, he stood up and read out how Ananias and Sapphira kept back some of the money they had from the sale of their property, and Ananias fell dead, and then so did Sapphira. He said, "Now, the offering will be received." and it was a good collection. anyway, the aim is not that. It's that we should think on this little lesson that Jesus is pointing his disciples to show that the self-giving of this widow is possible for her to share in the whole action of God, and to do that with a full heart, quietly before the Lord. And then they were to go off and I'm sure pondered that message. They've told it to us there. It's there, and they must have gone back to that numerous times. My thoughts for today were that we should simply hear this and let it be fortifying, disturbing, shaking of us. Just simply a fresh call. We've mentioned before as we went through 2 Corinthians, God loves a cheerful giver, and part of our calling is to be, and some have got more time and talent than money. Some, it's best just to give them money because they lack time and, talent. Anyway, I was just having a joke with myself there, and I thought no one got it. But so, anyway, we give out of what God has given to us, and it is great to share in the ministry of Christ and to see sometimes a little that can do so much. Remember when the rubies were in Ethiopia and we went there, and you're in a conundrum because the first people see you have got white skin and they come up and would like some money. But one woman with just a poor little baby to feed and not much, and others rolling around up with wheels on their hands, a skateboard for a wheelchair, and you feel that you'd like to give to the whole country, but you're not sure how. Well, our friends went and served there for 8 years, and that was their self-giving to the teaching and education and a whole lot of other things. But it's very lovely to see how much sometimes just in, and I'm saying that as we approach Christmas, you'll get asked by lots of groups along the way. There is opportunity to give to numerous charities and things but as we do that, you know, it's good to be discerning and think, what is it that the Lord might want me to share in and give to, and say a little bit can actually go a long way in their circumstances. As we I know Dee's encouraged us to involve ourselves in the Samaritan's Purse. We pray that'll be a blessing. I know Luke and Izzy are helping with the Tear Fund again. And in a few weeks' time, we're having a visit from one of the Compassion, the State Director for Compassion. So there's opportunity there to get on board if you'd like to do that. It's really lovely for families and children to share in and have as part of their conversation. The disparity in the world, if you can come to terms with that and learn to function in it, it's great for our faith to be able to do that. That's all I want to say today. The short prayer I'd like to lead us in is one that just calls us really to say, yeah, Lord, I'm hearing you. I'm involved in what you want me to be involved in. Here am I. Send me. Shall we pray together? Dear Lord, we thank you for your generous love to us in giving Christ to us. Father, we thank you that his love has reached the whole world and continues to do so, and is that self-giving that brings redemption and change and hope and everlasting life. Lord, we thank you that you've called us to share in this big plan and to find fresh opportunities to serve, to bear witness to you. And thank you, Lord, today that the poor widow gives us each that little reality check and a strong reminder that giving's a great thing to be part of. Spirit of God, show us ways, we pray, that we might better utilise that which you've given to us, that we might each live to your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.